The International Ministers Conference is God's strategy to set your life and ministry on course. Welcome to the International Ministers
Conference. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I have a few minutes, but I'm stirred in my heart, you know, to rush through something as an introduction. So, if I was to give a title, because I think I didn't give a title to my charge yesterday, I would call it The Man, The Message, and The Platform. The Man, The Message, and The Platform. And even if I dwelt on the message yesterday for time's sake, I want to just quickly talk about the man, because that's one aspect that we tend to overlook. You know what Paul told Timothy? He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. So, before you prepare a nice message, what about you? You're preparing a nice sermon, but are you prepared? What kind of heart do you have? How are your motives? And so the Lord just made me give you a short prophetic charge. And I just want to say this to every minister of the gospel here. In a prophetic biblical language, don't kill the donkey. You know the story of Balaam? Balaam had swayed from the plan of God. He was en route to do what will not please God. And when a man lacks discernment so much, God in his mercy will use even a donkey to warn you. And Balaam got angry that this donkey is not moving. And he took out a rod and started to hit the donkey. Until God had to open the donkey's mouth to say, mark by me now. And I'm saying jokingly, seriously, what is that donkey in your life? What method of grace has God employed to warn you that you are on the wrong track? It might be your anger, and you can spiritualize it. You can call it the wrath of God, but it, you know, it's bad behavior. It can be the way you handle the opposite sex. God cannot even trust you with a disciple. Half of the ladies in your church, you have tried to date them. And God is warning you. For some of you, it may be the way you handle money. You know, Apostle said something, and I want to reiterate it. It's not a joke. There are many landmines in ministry. You can end up in jail. You know, I'd only begun preaching in Abuja for months when someone came to me. And he said, I like the way you preach. I want to sponsor your ministry. So tell someone to reach out to me with the budget of your ministry. What are your dreams? Do you know what it means to tell someone like me, what are your dreams? It's quite an audacious thing to say. So I couldn't even write all the things. I said, let it not look like I'm a glutton. So we sent 500 million and he said, it's too small. You know, immediately my heart moved from, this might be the favor of God, to what do you want? There is a way someone will show you favor. Maybe as a lady, you say, come, what is going on? What do you want? Do you want to date me? You can't just be eating irresponsibly. It's too small. So I sent the person back to him to ask some questions. He now said, what if someone has done some bad things in the past, but he has repented and now he wants to use the money? You know, if he surrenders the money to the government, they will share it amongst themselves. So he wants to put it in the kingdom. My friend, there is something called money laundering. Educate yourself. Go see. You must learn about these things. They trap many men of God. There was a man of God in the same Abuja as he was preaching like this on the stage. They came to carry him straight to police station. As he was preaching, they didn't allow him to finish his sermon. Be very careful. You see, the way some young ministers move, and it is usually competition that will drive them. When you are obsessed about what other ministries are doing, what they have, you just started. The drive for competition, you start cutting corners. You know that this boy, you don't know his source of income. He's very likely into internet fraud. You are collecting money, blessing him for his endeavors. You will prosper. Prosper in what? When they come for him and he says, I give some to the church, they will carry you too. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to warn you, don't kill the donkey. The very people or things that God has put in your life to warn you, to preserve your life. Some will beef them. Some will cut them off. I've seen many young ministers, and me, my default mode is to mind my business. You won't see me just around, except the Lord asked me to go, or except I was invited and I have time. And some ministers, I will take interest in them to reach out to them to avoid, the way you are going, problem go there. Some will not hear. They won't listen. And will fall into the pit. Let me tell you something. Desperation kills discernment. If you are desperate to blow, you won't hear God well. You will not hear. Desperation kills discernment. Watch your character. What do you have a prayer life? Listen, even the best of us can fall into a season of inconsistency. But don't stay there. Get up. Don't explain it away. Don't find a doctrine, to accommodate it. Get up. Please, are you listening to me? So in meetings like this, God must heal your heart. God must realign you. God must realign you. You see, many ministers make the mistake of Cain. You bring a sacrifice to God. God tells you, this is not what I want. And you are angry. The humbling thing is God came to Cain and said, why are you angry? If you did right, will I not commend you? Cain was still angry. There are some people even God cannot pacify. God came to Cain. Why are you angry? You did wrong. Because people like Cain are insisting that God must receive their sacrifice the way it is. God is saying, you can't serve me in ministry like this. Not with this type of money. Not with this type of heart. You want to do ministry your own way and claim to be serving God. It doesn't work that way. There is a kind of service God calls reasonable service. Please, are you with me? You're not serving yourself. You can't insist on doing things your own way and claim to be serving God. It just doesn't work that way. Amen, somebody. Please help me nudge the person by your side. Say, don't kill the donkey. Don't kill. You know why I'm telling you this? Because I've discovered, especially in this part of the world, but in ministry generally, I don't know how people do it, but it is possible to compartmentalize your devotion in such a way that the word of God no longer touches you. You see, very anointed men, with very hot temper. Don't you pray? Very anointed men who can't control anything. You can't trust them with anything that requires discipline. Not with money, not with sex. It's possible to compartmentalize. And just accommodate all those things. And if you don't have the humility to run to God as often as possible and say, God, heal my heart. Test my motives. You can start preaching for money. It's sad, but some people do it. You can lack so much empathy. Why do you think Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan? And on purpose, he told you that the people who passed that man on the road, the Levites,
The priests, they were coming from the temple. They had just prayed. But just the normal human compassion. You see, some men of God do some things, and you're just like, you won't expect this even from a Christian. Someone is dying, you don't care. Jesus healed a man who was lame for 38 years. The man was carrying his bed, and all they could think of is, why are you walking on the Sabbath? You know, that's how some people think, and they have the doctrine for it. And they use doctrine as an excuse to mask their lack of compassion. They are walking on the Sabbath. That's all you could see. A man who had been lame 38 years is walking. All you could see.
Don't kill the what? Hallelujah. So, nothing you hear in this conference will be complete if you don't take it to yourself, your prayer life, your walk with God, and make sure that you are serving God sincerely. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? Make sure you're serving God sincerely. All right. Let's move on for time's sake. So we've talked about the man. Yesterday we talked about the message. I think I will still touch on that a little bit. But please turn your Bibles. John chapter 7 verse 37. John chapter 7 verse 37. John chapter 7 verse 37. The popular text. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Everybody read John 7:37 together, loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. So now, I want us to emphasize just three things in this text. Number one, what Jesus said, that is his message, right? And we talked about that yesterday, so I'm not going to dwell on that. There is a message, and then we'll emphasize how he said it. It's still a part of the message, but a different emphasis. We're talking about delivery. There is a branch of theology called homiletics. Please, I want you to take note of that. And I want you to study it, because homiletics is actually just the art of sermon delivery. It's an art that is not properly taught in a lot of ministry schools in Nigeria. But you should be taught to preach. You should be taught to preach. Not everybody has the natural gift, and you shouldn't have to wait 20 years to gain the experience, to learn from all the mistakes. There should be a systematic, you know, I was very surprised, you know, reading one ministry material and the extent of the details. They even drew diagrams, posture on the pulpit, hand gestures, the level of detail to develop what is called the faculty of ready speech, so that when they tap you like this, you know, like Paul in Athens, you find yourself in Acts 17, beholding their devotion, and in a moment's notice, you can deliver a sermon. Are you aware that most of the sermons in the New Testament were impromptu? Most of the sermons in the New Testament were impromptu. Look, I started from the first one in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly, a rushing mighty wind, a sound, you know, cloven tongues as of fire, you know, and people downstairs are saying these men are drunk. And then Peter, impromptu, begins and he says, we are not drunk as you suppose. This is just the third hour of the day. He says, this is that which Joel said. He said, remember what David said. You know, didactic teaching, impromptu. Maybe the problem is that we prepare sermons. Maybe we ought to start living it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe that's part of the things you should work on. They should be able to call you
impromptu. You will hardly find a prepared sermon in the New Testament. Most of it impromptu. And yet it had depth. Depth to stand the test of time. God could work with their preparedness, you know, to give us inspired speech that will be in the scripture. We are still using it as a reference 2,000 years after. Come on. Meanwhile, you are preaching a sermon that after 2 months is not relevant again. It has expired. So the message is so important. And let's look at it. You know, here is something you didn't notice. When Jesus said what he said in John 7:37, it went viral immediately. Look at verse 40. The Bible says, therefore many from the crowd, when they heard the saying, said, truly, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, so it sparked a conversation immediately. Come on, are you with me? Some said, this is the prophet. Some said, this is the Christ. But others said, will Christ come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ, when Christ comes, he'll be the seed of David from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was division amongst the people. He started trending. I must warn you though, this has its perks, its pros, and its cons. So you must develop tough skin, because you don't become someone at the top without being the topic. When people talk about you, they will say all kinds of vile things. Vile. You have to be careful. It comes with the package. Sometimes I miss when I could just go out without people greeting me. You know, and sometimes I just, excuse the expression, damn all the consequences, because, you see, my children should not miss their father just because their father is in ministry. So sometimes I go to the mall with them like a normal person. And so if I'm with my children and you greet me and I don't answer, understand. Do you understand? They want their father. The last time I wore mask, wore hoodie, someone said, he said, good morning, sir. I said, sorry, how did you know? He says, it's your walking step. Ah, I said, wow. The Lord told me beginning of last year. He said, this is your last year with a private life. Last year. So, it's part of the cross you will carry. Everything in your life will be a topic. Comes with the package. But the truth is this. When you can preach a sermon that shakes a community, you know you are getting something right. It's very important. So there must be a look on us command from your ministry. Something that even if you are not trying on purpose, just commands attention. And first and foremost, that thing must be supernatural. You see, let me say this. God has never done anything in a man and kept it a secret. Jesus just goes to John for baptism, and God is eager and excited. He rends open the skies, screams from heaven, this is my beloved son, hear him. Listen, if all the publicity of your ministry is natural, you may be in trouble. Go and pray. Go and be sure God called you. Is there nobody that God is telling about you? Nobody has dreamt. Nobody has seen a vision. No one has had a confirmation in their spirits. And you are printing flyer. This is not a flyer matter. There must be supernatural confirmations. Every day. Including yesterday night. I've received a message this morning. I dreamt about you, sir. You were laying hands on me. It happens every day. It's one of the signs of our ministry. You know, someone commented on a tweet. He says, I don't know this man from anywhere. I just saw him in my dream praying for me. And I came online and I saw his profile. Strangers.
You know, something happened. Some people were in my house. And my wife asked the question. In fact, I was surprised she asked the question. I didn't know why. But God wanted me to hear it. Just imagine randomly, people are in my house. And my wife began to ask them one after the other, how did you join Celebration Church? If you hear stories. I thought our secret was social media. Come and hear stories. One said, I was looking for a church for a long time. And I prayed, God, direct me to a church. And then she said she dreamt. In the dream, she was walking, looking for a church. And then a limousine passed. I said, ah, thank God. Even for a dream, I know poor. Thank God. Anyway. And the limousine passed. And someone wowed down and said, are you looking for a church? She said, yes. Say, come in. So she came in and she saw me in front praying. I didn't talk to them. The church drove them to Celebration Church. The car drove them to Celebration Church. You know, I walked in and she followed me. That's how she woke up knowing. The other lady was an atheist before. But in a dream, she saw a multitude rushing to a mountain. And so she followed them, curious, what is happening here? Then at the top, she saw celebration. She heard celebration. Then the next morning, her brother came and said, I've been praying for you. You must come to my church. So she said, what church is that? She had not been to church in years. He said, what church is that? He said, Celebration Church. He said, I'm coming. The brother was surprised. Now, so these were two random people in the same place supernaturally. One said, oh my God. One said in a dream, she saw the flyer and saw the logo and saw me and my wife. She had never seen us before. And so weeks after she saw the flyer online, boom, that was the confirmation she needed. So I'm saying this, listen, and this is why, first and foremost, you need to be sure. You call God, that be God called you. Which one? You understand what I'm saying? You be sure. You know, interestingly, in the Bible, almost everyone that God called did not want to be called. They tried to give excuses. And I'm not saying you should be like that. But I'm just saying that's far removed from the culture in our day where some people even see pastoring as a career. At least in our parents' day, if anyone should tell you he's called, you know he's saying the truth. Because for you to say you are called, you must be very sure. Because being called was like resigning yourself to poverty. So only those who are really sure. Not that you see a pastor, you see the external glamour and you think you want it. When God backs you up, it makes it easy. Amen, somebody. You know, so there must be that supernatural confirmation. And then secondly, this is a part that a lot of people in ministry in this part of the world don't know. Secondly, there must be goodwill. Please, what did I call it? What did I call it? Goodwill with the people. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, you know what it says? It says they were praising God and having favor with all the people. It's not just about God. Listen, please treat people well. Don't, because you are a pastor, nurse bad behavior and get away with it. You know, some pastors, I don't know where you learn it, bad behavior. Someone loves your ministry, believes in the ministry, packages a gift, a financial gift. You say, you drop it there. Go. I will never forget this first time someone did that to me. I was like, I don't know the Bible well, because I was still growing. But this cannot be correct. So my deliverance came when I was watching a clip and Pastor Chris Oyakhilome was thanking his partners. And he said, I want to thank you because of what you are doing. You are able to do this. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. I said, You know, 2 weeks ago, I bought a gift. I went to one of my son's house. I said, I want you to have this. He's my son. Or call a spade, it doesn't matter how blessed a man is. If people are giving to you sacrificially, don't think they don't have things to do. Don't think they don't have needs. Learn to appreciate people. Learn to be nice to people. Learn to be, you see,
And then what is dangerous is that you have people who have five members who are already unreachable. You have three members, you get PA. What do you need assistance for? They can't reach you directly. Wear suit with shoulder pad. You have five bodyguards. What do you need protection from? Who will go through the inconvenience, get assassins, pay for gun? You know how much gun is? I don't know, but it must be expensive. Then come and steal your 50K. It can't pay for their bullets. You are okay. Walk like a normal human being. Have a life. Interact with people. Touch people. You know, it was, I think, Tom Timney that said, any shepherd that does not smell of sheep is a thief. You call yourself a shepherd and your sheep can't touch you. Change that behavior. It's an African Christianity style. It's not biblical. One of the people that God used to break the back of that nonsense in this country was Sam Adeyemi. I'll never forget, you know, we finished the program and he was just there. I was like, what's going on? I went to greet him. Nobody slapped me. I was like, hello, Shele. It's nice to meet you, sir. I said, God bless you. You know? And went. Ha! I said, I want to be like this. Mind you, having protocol is biblical. When Jesus said, let the children come to me, it means there was structure. Because some of you also, someone will preach for 5 days stretch in a camp meeting. Then you want personal counseling. You want to kill the pastor. So there must be structure. So you must understand the balance of what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? But be a person of compassion. Care about people. You know, care about, let the members know there is a type of mentorship in African church that is only about the mentor. You are the one receiving. You are the one. You don't care if the people just, you know, someone even told me, your mentor is your tormentor. I ran. That was the last time he saw me. Which kind? I'm following you. Listen, the semester in school was tough. So I couldn't keep leaving school to come for your meetings. And you are angry. And what you have to say is your mentor is your tormentor. Do you know my CGPA? Have you ever asked me? There are things I don't want to say. We live in a generation where someone will go to a school in the name of revival and make students pray night vigil 1 month. Don't let me enter that one. Please appreciate your past partners. And let me tell you why this is important. Appreciate your members. Because you see, you know, Jesus said something. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not, you know. So, even Jesus needed a John the Baptist. Meaning, you can be the Son of God, but someone else must be telling everyone about your ministry. If you are the one, you are the only one saying, I'm anointed, I'm called, your ministry won't grow. There must be people who have touched your grace, touched your love, and are telling everybody, come and see this man. Come and see. You need a John the Baptist. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then, of course, yeah, another thing that will command that look on us anointing on your ministry is good preaching. Look at that same John chapter 7, quickly. That same John chapter 7 from verse 44. The Bible says, now some of them wanted to take him. They had sent people to arrest Jesus. It says, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees and who said to them, why have you not brought him? And then the officers answered. Everybody read verse 46 together. 1, 2, go. And then the officers answered, never man spake like him, like this man. The people who came to arrest him were so captivated by his preaching. They forgot why they went. So they came back without him. They now said, where is the person we asked you to arrest? He said, if you hear sermon.
They say, if you hear preaching, I've never seen a man speak. I said, oh my God, how forcible are right words? When even your haters say, let's not lie. It's making sense. And then in the next verse, they said, are you also deceived? Hallelujah. And so let me just give you some key points to work on in your delivery. All right. How to preach a good sermon. First and foremost, there must be depth. There must be depth. Like I said, information has increased in the church and in the world. You'll be surprised. Even some non-church goers have read the Bible. You better come correct. All your Bible quotations, you're always paraphrasing. Which verse have you memorized? Come correct. Quote it well. Do your research well. Study well. Don't just give surface information. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. We all know. What does that mean? Meaning what? Study it. Get resources. Get the lexicon. Get different translations. Get study notes. Research authorities. They are not God, but at least consider what they are saying. Do you know that God has created a system in the church to keep all of us interdependent, such that nobody will be a custodian of revelation? There are some things you will never know until you listen to someone that God has revealed it to. It's a mystery. That no matter how long you've been studying the Bible, there are some things you will hear someone say, you will check and say, it's true. How come I never saw it? No matter who you are. And I've discovered that the truly great men are the people who acknowledge it, and it makes my respect. You know, something happened. I saw one of the fathers in the faith in this nation, a past PFM president, emphasis on past, you know. And when I saw him, I knelt to greet him, and I was trying to introduce myself. He said, I listen to you every day. I almost fainted. He said, I listen to you every day without fail. I almost fell to the ground. So, you know, out of respect, I pretended like I didn't hear. He said, did you hear what I said? You know, the more I grow, I know why great men are great. You see their heart, their humility. You know, when Apostle said he followed 100 days of discipleship, I was so touched and humbled. You know, something happened. I was in a meeting. The Lord asked me to attend the meeting, even if I wasn't preaching. And I stood there, and the great man of God, Apostle Joshua Selman, was coming in. And then when he saw me, he put his hand on his chest and smiled. So I was like, because we haven't had any personal interaction before. So I was like, what's going on? So later, after the program in the green room, he came to me. He said, I followed your 100 days of discipleship. He said, there was something you explained. My friend sent it to me. It was so powerful. Great work. You know, I've noticed now the people way be upcoming, they form parcel. You way nobody know. You see, even me that was humble, I relent humility that day. I was like, what? You know, he didn't hide it. He didn't mince words at all. And then he didn't minimize it. You know, some people, they will tell you, but they will minimize it. I've seen. So, I think. And then it made my respect even, you know. Oh, my God. So, let me say this. When the Bible says, till we all come, if you really want us to all come in the unity of the faith, it means you must consider what others are saying. And that is one of the role of an apostle. At least, if your goal is unity, find out what others are saying. Find out what others are saying. Because guess what? There are new prophetic voices that God is raising. They may have
a template of ministry that you don't quite understand, but at least see the authenticity. See what the flavor they are bringing. You know, there's a prayer movement in the body of Christ. I respect it. It's good. There's a power movement in the body of Christ. Celebrate it. You know what? We will be better as a body when we understand that, at the core, I see the authenticity of what you represent. There are many other things that come with it that I don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? We'll walk through the fine lines later. But I see you. I recognize what God is doing in your life. Don't pretend when God is using people. Because from experience and from the Bible, you're beefing them will even make them grow bigger. Beef does not reduce anointing. Does not. It only announces it more. You know, so work on the depth, study, invest in books, and then for God's sake, learn, keep learning from people. Keep learning from people. You know, I was telling myself, all your pastor's recent teachings on relationship, the ones that are blowing up the internet, those powerful ones, right? I said, I will go and sit down. You know, I was thinking the first time I will invite him to church, he will come and teach on maybe ministry or power, you know, but now it's like his relationship. that's what God wants to amplify. Because the depth, oh my God. Hallelujah. It's true. So work on that. You know, the depth, you know, and everything. Let me tell you something. Jesus, are you ready for what I'm about to tell you? It takes only 3 years for a ministry to shake the world. That's what Jesus taught us. If you don't shake the world in 3 years, there was something wrong with your preparation. It takes only 3 years. And Jesus didn't even have internet. So it should take you faster. It's only 3 years. So you must tell yourself the truth. The message did not fly because maybe it's not deep enough. It's not compelling enough. It takes only 3 years to shake the world. And I'm saying that as a challenge to myself also, so that we all keep growing. Think about it. Are you aware Jesus was already a good preacher at the age of 12? The Bible says, listen, that the lawyers and the doctors, you know, in the temple were shocked at his understanding and answers. Meaning, he wasn't asking them questions to answer. They couldn't answer his questions. They were shocked at his understanding and answers. Meaning, he had to answer the questions himself. They couldn't answer them at the age of 12. But he waited 18 more years. That's the problem with many young people in this generation. Just because you think you can preach, you think you are ready. Listen, it is one thing to establish that there is a call on your life. It is another thing to get the timing right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me also tell you something shocking. There is no way Mary would have told people in a wedding, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Except Jesus had performed some miracles in private. There is no way. Do you know what it means for wine to finish in a wedding and you go to someone and say, there's no wine? Think about that. There is no, for you to go to someone and say, wine has finished, it means you know he can do something. And then even when he says, woman, I'm not ready, it's not my time, she went to the waiters and said, whatever he tells you to do. Think about it. Even the waiters, if not for what Mary said, do you know what it means to carry water and go and give guests? It means, oh my God, just the same way the disciples were performing miracles with Jesus, but when the Spirit came in Acts 2, the miracles increased. So even if Jesus performed more miracles when the Spirit came upon him at the baptism, he must have been performing some before. But it was not time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why am I telling you this? So even after he could preach a good sermon, he took 18 more years to prepare.
And then when it was time,
the Bible says he entered Jerusalem in the fullness and the power of the Spirit. He opened the scroll and read and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes."
Preparation.
He preached one sermon, climbed the mountain with authority. Do you know what it means? Some theologians say he must have been 28 years old, but approximately to 30, and I don't really care. He said, "You have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you." He spoke like one who had authority. And when he came down, started healing the sick, multitude came.
Come on, are you getting what I'm saying?
Three and a half years.
Let that statement get you angry. Go and pray.
So you work on your depth and then work on your storytelling. It was another secret of Jesus. Learn to tell stories in a compelling way. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking goodly pearls. That's captivating. And it was partly because the people didn't have the openness of heart for him to talk to them without circumlocution. But also, he learned how to talk in a creative way, in a captivative way. When he says, "You are the light of the world," there is an imagery in the people's minds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Learn to paint pictures. Learn to tell stories better. And I want to give you a personal assignment. Even Bible stories that you already know, learn to tell it in a creative way. Record yourself saying it. Just record yourself. And you can tell stories that people already know in a captivating way. And then, after you've done it, say, how can I say it better? What should I emphasize? What should I accentuate? You know, there is something we learned in English. Did you ever do summary? So, in summary, you learn to say the most important things. There is something called a punchline. So, you have to learn that you can say the same thing in a more powerful way. Go and sit down. So one of my greatest secrets was that in my undergraduate days, I was writing a devotional daily. And in a devotional, you have just 150 words to preach a sermon. So I will write. I've already exceeded 150. I now have to find a way to say all that I want to say in 150 words. So it trained me on how to use more forcible words in a simple and memorable way. Can I tell you something? One of the best ways you can use to improve, you must find a way. It's either you're writing every day or you have a blog. Or you have a YouTube channel. See, nobody needs to watch you. You are doing it primarily for yourself. They may not know. Social media is a great training because now you're competing with a lot of information. If you talk too much, they will scroll. So the views are feedback. That's why, have you noticed most YouTubers, they talk in a fast way. "Hello, welcome to my YouTube channel." You know, because they know they are competing for attention. You must learn to compete for attention. Did you notice? It wasn't just what Jesus said in John 7:37. It's how he said it. The Bible says he stood and cried with a loud voice. Some ministries are winking in the dark, wondering why no one is coming. There must be a cry in your ministry, a call for attention. It's not compelling enough. Even when you are talking, it's as if you yourself are not sure. Do you believe what you are saying? Which leads me to the next one. Learn to use your voice. Learn to use your voice. So, Jesus, now think about this. I want to demonstrate this. Can I have five brothers come to me? Five brothers. Okay. I'm George. Good to see you. You're surprised I remember you. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let's add a lady. Can you come? Now, just imagine someone has been caught in the bed of adultery. So a multitude comes to Jesus, you know, to challenge him about it. So come to me as if you're angry. Just come to me.
You know, I hold on. Okay. You know.
So just imagine. And there's a multitude. What do you do? It is written in the law. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. You know what Jesus did? He squatted and was writing on the floor. You know, historically, that floor had met stone pavements. So first and foremost, there is a deep prophetic metaphor about that. That law you are telling me about, I'm the one that wrote it. So, first and foremost, you are not informing me. You say, Moses wrote in the law. He's saying, it was my finger that wrote it. But then, think about an angry mob. And then he's calm. Then he stands up and he says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he kneels again, continues to write. So there is something in your sermon. You must learn the power of a pause. Imagine you say something and then you pause. Just like that. There's a way it crystallizes, it marinates. So you learn all this. Jesus was a genius. Oh my God. Yeah, he was anointed, but he was a communication expert. Listen, if you want to teach all your life, you say there's a call, at least learn to talk. Thank you very much. So the power of a pause. Just imagine you want to start a sermon, and then you stand in front, and for the first few minutes, you're quiet, and you just look around. You know, one of the people who knows this so well, pause, calm talking, Pastor Adeboye. Listen, he's anointed, but he's a communication. Oh my God. When he just say, let somebody shout hallelujah. You see, there is something about calm talking that communicates authority. Authority. My daddy said there's someone here. You feel him, Abi? It's authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the problem with Nigerians in our natural communication is that we are monotonous. All our talking is usually high-pitched, high-paced, you know, no dynamics, no vocal dynamics. And you see, the thing with stress is that the wrong stress can change the meaning of what you're saying. Let me give an example. I didn't say I slapped her. Now, if I say, I didn't say I slapped her, what am I meaning? What am I trying to communicate? I stressed I didn't say I slapped her. It means someone else. Okay, if I stress, I didn't say I slapped her, what am I saying? Maybe I kicked her. I didn't say I slapped her. What am I saying? I slapped someone else. So, the wrong stress gives a totally different meaning to what you are saying. So, you must learn to stress properly. Learn it. There is also a part of the sermon. So, I suggest that when you are laying theological foundations in your preaching, you use pause, calmness. Oh God. Now, with all these things I'm saying, the next time you listen to Apostle Joshua Selman, you will respect his oratory. See, forget. Apart from anointing, he's one of the best orators. Word. Because I'm a trainer in homiletics, I see all those things. The master. Hallelujah. So another thing you must learn is what I call pace and power. So imagine with calmness and with pause, you've laid your theological foundation, taking people line upon line, precept upon precept. You have shown them scriptures, you know, and it's crystallizing. Then, after you have made your point, you now get to a point where it's the stirring part of the sermon. So you now talk faster, you increase your pitch, because you see, when you increase your tone, it hits people's heart. It crystallizes, it hits them like a bomb. The Bible says on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. There is something about a cry that shakes the core of people's being. If any man thirst, you see that? Any man thirst. So, all of them have their place. When I said, if any man thirst, and if any man thirst, both are powerful. Listen, there is something I call right use of means. So, all of these are not independent of the move of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not, I'm not teaching you how to just use methods and, you see, I am telling you the method behind the miracle. Remember that expression from yesterday? So, pace and power. If there was enough time, I would have called some of you to see if, you can, if I could. Because some of you, you've not had anyone correct you real time. Okay, do it this way. Okay, say it this way. Okay, do it this way. By the way, what I'm doing now is my core gift. My core gift is raising preachers. There are at least 100 people who can do what I do in our ministry. At least 100. You know? So, it's something that you must learn deliberately. Please, have you learned anything at all? In the next few minutes, I'll just talk about platform. Time is fast spent, and then we move on. Platform. So, when people are reading John 7:37, they are more likely to think of what Jesus said, the message, how Jesus said it, the delivery, but they forget the platform. It's not just what he said, it's when he said it. When did the Bible say he said what he said? On the last day, the great day of the feast. So, the last day of that Jewish feast usually had the most people. You know, the same way when you organize a conference, it's usually the last day that the most people come. So, because Jesus, what he wanted to say was so important, he chose the day that will have the most people. And you know, that is something a lot of ministries lack. They have a good message, but they don't have the right platform. And I'm here to tell you, the platform is important. So what is that last day, the great day of the feast in our time? Where can you find the most people? Answer me. Social media is, of course, top. Think about it. Now you have access to a free platform like Instagram with 2 billion users. 2 billion? What are you doing with that? You see, the Great Commission tells us what we should do and is not exactly restrictive about how we should do it. So you have to understand that the advent of social media is something that can help us reach the world. After all, it says, preach the gospel to all creation. Isn't that true? So you should find your last day, great day of the feast, and not just that, cry there. Some of you are online, but you are not crying. What you are doing there is not compelling enough. When our ministry did not even have any resources, I had a meeting with them. You know, I think in our account at the time, many, many years ago, 19 Colongo, we had just about 150,000 in the account. But the best audio recording device at the time was 90,000. I said, buy it. Buy it. Now, you are trying, oh my God. Listen to the stories of people who God opened the body of Christ to. They have stories like this. So we recorded audio sermons, the best quality at the time, the H4N, the best audio recording device at the time in the world, and found a way to give it out free. Almost everyone who has a voice, that's what they did. I hear that's the story. I can say, mention names like this because it's ministers' conference. I hear, you know, Apostle Joshua Selman, it was ABU Zaria. Now, let me tell you also one thing. It is like a token of faith and a miraculous principle in the body of Christ in this nation that until you have blessed the university, you cannot bless the nation.
Are there exceptions? Yes. But most of the leading voices, you can trace them to a higher institution, or your university. Most. Most. And I can explain why, but there's no time. But recognize it as a prophetic pattern. You know, see, oh God, I'm dropping some of the biggest secrets of my life. And some of you, I wonder what you would do with it. If you can't gather students, you can't gather anybody. Forget it. It's very simple. Uh-huh. So that is one of the places you can go and prove your call. Prove your ministry. And that is one of the places where you build trust. I've noticed no matter how proficient a minister of the gospel is, you must build track record. There are some people who will know you. They'll be watching you from afar. It might be 5 years after they decide to join you. So you build track record. Don't make all your mistakes on the big stage. I've said enough. So, as a round of, because I want to respect time, I'm just going to wrap off here. You know, God said, I will do a work in Israel that will cause the ear of them that hear it to tingle. It means God is particular about the virality of what he's doing in his church. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will do a work and it will go viral. Every minister of the gospel in the 21st century must be a content creator. Let's close. Every minister of the gospel, you see, one of the most evangelical things you can do for your church, like the video, like the picture, comment. It's evangelism. And you must see, it is one of the most important things. Don't you know that reposting the video is like Jesus preaching on your boat? You are yielding your sphere of influence to him. There are some people that will not listen to your pastor directly, but because they trust you and you listen to him, they begin to, it will kindle a kind of curiosity. It is one of the duties of workers. Can I tell you something? I don't think it is far-fetched for a pastor, and don't use this, still give them some level of control, don't boss it over people. Part of workers' meeting, part of the agenda, oh yeah, open the last video, like it, comment. You know what, let's do that now, because I checked the video. How can the media team of this church be posting videos on Instagram? Oh, I know they like them, and you are a member. Open it now, I'm watching you. Open it. Open it. Go first to my own, and pastor's own. Oh yeah, comment. I'm watching you. Where's my phone? I saw nice content. Do you see these people? There was one of the shots. It was through the wall. Carried, at least support your, it's your, let me tell you something. Nobody will shout about your ministry for you. Now, we have churches around the world, but can I tell you something? I will never forget the people who were there when we were 50, when we were 100. There were some people, if you were in the choir then, you must have truly believed. Now everybody is seeing vision. I saw myself drumming. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Now if you play in our church, you are going to blow. So I don't trust your motives. Forgive me. But the people who said God sent me to you when we were 50, God must have sent you now. Oh yeah, I'm watching you. This is part of the service. Some of you, members of the church, you are not following your pastor. And you, I don't know what you are doing. It is, listen, when you like the video, it pushes the algorithm pushes it for more people to see it. That is one of the ways. It just liking videos is one of the ways you can support the kingdom. Are you aware? When you see any good content, like it, comment. And if you're a growing ministry,
Like, comments 3 times. You're not paying money. Carry your church on your head. Are you listening to me? So have you done that now? So, every minister must be a content creator. Find a way, the best camera you can afford. Like I said yesterday, you must have thought I'm joking. You don't know me. 2 years ago, my salary was still 350,000 from church. The reason I applied for UK visa the first time and they rejected me is because they said it doesn't add up. You are, because the UK government judges your income only by your salary. I had enough money in my account, and that's part of what I'm saying. I'm jealous for the church. So if I'm blessed, why bother the church? You understand what I'm saying? I've invested in too many lives for me to have to depend on salary. So I was just doing that for the church, but I learned the hard way. And that's another thing about experience. An older minister called me, and I don't know, maybe it was the Lord, because he normally won't ask that question. How much is your allowance? When I told him, he said, and he said, it will affect something structurally. I learned the hard way. So they said, they prorated the cost of my being in the UK in 2 weeks. He said, you will be in the UK in 2 weeks. It will cost approximately this. Your salary cannot pay it. You know, that's when I began. So, a lot of people don't know my heart, don't know my... You see, if you judge by social media, you won't. There are a lot of things you won't know. A lot of things you won't know. So, oh my God. So, when I said yesterday, sell your car, buy camera, I'm not joking. If you cannot place a bet on your ministry, then don't do ministry. If you cannot place a bet on your own anointing, for me, take everything I have. Just leave my anointing. Leave my... I'm telling you, I only need time. I will be back where I am. Back where? In fact, with all the experience I have, it will be faster. Faster! Someone's like, we want to get venue. Don't you want us? Buy camera. Do a part of your house well. And teach like it's an office. Listen, are you aware? You are a growing minister and you are not posting every day. People who have been in ministry 30 years, you know something, the Lord led me to join Bishop Oyedepo's morning prayer. By the way, I hope you know they've been doing it for more than 5 years. I think it was January this year, I joined morning prayer. And he was like, I want us to pray for souls, that souls will come tomorrow. He said last month, last Sunday, 200,000, I can't get the numbers, 200,000 people joined the church or something like that, one branch. And he said, pray for souls. I said, Baba, you know, go drop mantle. So, and the Lord spoke to me. If you don't outwork them, the mantle will not drop. They are not going anywhere. Did you watch the last viral video? Pastor Adeboye said, I want to assure you, I'm not going anywhere. Eh? You think? Let me tell you something. See, if you don't take your place, no chair at the table for you. Preach loud, cry. Ask God, what shall I cry? Go and clarify your message. No space for you. Someone who is 80 is praying more than you, working harder than you, and you're wondering, God, why? Why is this ministry not moving forward? It's cannot move. Do you understand? Don't forget. Listen, it's a law in the spirit. It's who has blessed the body of Christ. Who has the most labor? Do you know the men at the frontier of teaching in the body of Christ now? Are you aware If you search any Christian topic, Apostle Arume has a sermon on it. Apostle Joshua Selman has a sermon on it. Haven't you noticed? Any topic. Yeah, go try it. So it's a law. You know what that does? You now establish, how can I put it? You now become the go-to ministry when people have questions. That's what you do. It's called mind share. But for you to get to that point, you must be loud. You must be loud. God is screaming from heaven about Jesus. Who is screaming for you? Be loud. Be loud. Always do the best you can do every time. Amen, somebody. Please, did you learn anything? All right. So I think I'm going to stop here. So, having maybe like a vlog, a YouTube channel, it will do two things for you. Number one, you'll keep getting better. You must practice every day. You keep getting better. Let me give you just a simple hack. Record yourself speaking. And then when you're done recording yourself speaking, turn off the audio, watch the video. When you turn off the audio and watch the video, you will notice wrong posture patterns that you need to correct. Then next, put the phone so you can't see the video and hear the audio. You will hear some things in your speech pattern that you will not normally pay attention to. So you keep walking. Just walk. Study how to be more articulate, you know, and keep developing yourself. Then keep praying. Keep fasting. Your profiting will appear to all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did this help you? All right. Thank you very much.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.